From Hollywood, California, we bring you a new Dr. Christian drama called Chicken Supreme, starring Gene Herschel as the popular Dr. Christian, presented for your pleasure by the Cheeseboro Manufacturing Company, owners of the trademark Vaseline, and producers of Vaseline Petroleum Jelly, Vaseline Hair Tonic, and other famous Vaseline specialties. Now, before the curtain overture, we ask you to listen to what this experienced mother and housewife has to say.
When you're running your own home and raising three energetic children, too, it seems as if there were always some emergency to interrupt your routine. My little boys are always getting cuts or scratches, or if it isn't that, it's a burn or a scrape or some kind of minor skin irritation. And that's when my emergency shelf comes into action. Out comes a jar of Vaseline jelly, and things are fixed up in no time. Vaseline jelly is so soothing and healing, so easy and so safe to use, that I just wouldn't know how to get along without it. In our house, for every sort of minor skin injury or irritation, we rely on dependable Vaseline jelly.
Well, very few people in this country do get along without it, for Vaseline jelly is found in more than 9 out of every 10 homes. Vaseline jelly is so popular because it's so effective and so economical. Only 10 cents for a generous jar or tube. Be sure you have a supply on hand so that you're always ready to deal promptly with everyday emergencies. Ask your druggist, too, about the Vaseline specialties, including Vaseline borated jelly, Vaseline carbolated jelly, Vaseline camphor ice, and Vaseline lip ice. And remember, when you buy, to look for the trademark Vaseline on every jar or tube. That trademark is your guarantee of absolute purity. There's the curtain music, and the show is about to begin. Starred in the comedy Chicken Supreme is Gene Herschel as Dr. Christian, supported by Rosemary DeCamp in the role of Judy Price, John Barry as the Reverend Horner, Jane Morgan as Matilda Tweedle, Verna Felton as Lottie Tweedle, and David Kerman as Joe Gunther. The opening scene shows Dr. Christian staggering up his own front walk bearing a crate in which Ella, violently indignant, is housed.
All right, old girl, all right. Quiet now. I don't know what I'm going to do with you, but here we are.
Oh, hello, Doctor. Good heavens, what have you there?
What does it sound like?
A chicken.
Yeah, it's Mr. McDuncan's idea of a dollar's worth of medical attention.
Did you let that old Scotchman pay you off with a chicken you don't want?
Well, it's about all he can afford.
Ah.
Any telephone calls?
No, nothing important. Oh, but the Reverend Horner's waiting in your office. He's been here almost an hour.
Reverend Horner?
Yes. Here, let me take that antiquated fowl.
I thought I'd put it out in the back hall.
All right.
Well, well, good afternoon, Reverend Horner.
Hello, Doctor. You're a hard man to catch.
Sit down, Reverend. Just put that crate in the corner, will you, Judy? I'll attend to it.
Quiet, you barnyard octogenarian.
Well, well, quite a bird. Looks very much like a donation.
Correct. From the canny Mr. McDuncan.
You couldn't use it, could you, Reverend?
No, thanks. I had one of McDuncan's hens once. A very muscular bird.
Well, I'll run along now. Excuse me, Reverend.
Oh, don't go, Judy. We may need your advice. I am here for the Ladies Aid Society.
Oh, well, nice to the new government.
No, 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 I'm not soliciting funds. It's this way, Doctor. The ladies of the church have presented me with a problem, and I'm going to pass the buck to you.
Yeah, sounds bad. Hey, please, Changely.
It's the Twinkle Sisters. The Ladies Aid decided to give a bridge benefit for them.
A benefit? What did you take that?
I've already done it.
Good heavens, that's terrible.
And it's responsible for several of our girl hairs. As you know, Colonel Tweeter gave the money to build our church, which makes the situation decidedly embarrassing.
Do you? I should say so.
Unfortunately, the Ladies' Aid sometimes has more energy than tact. Now, I think the Tweeters are on the verge of dire want, so they arranged this party. Admission, 50 cents worth of canned goods. Not a happy idea, I'm afraid. When our President Mrs. Hall called under the Committee of Three to present the canned goods, the ladies are practically ordered out of the house.
Good, it turns them right.
And I suppose it does, but Mrs. Hall and her committee became highly indignant and have now placed in my lap the job of forcing those candidates down the throats of the candidates.
Look here, Reverend. If you think I'm going to do
stuff, Doctor, if you can't prevail on anyone else, can
you? Well, I don't know the Tweeters, sisters. They'd rather stop than accept charity.
And please have a try at it, Doctor. The candidates have an invaluable space in our Sunday school, and
I don't think there's anything. But there are some
drop in and credit it to the two-day current flood.
I knew you'd find a way.
Oh, not so fast. I don't suppose the traders were ever more concerned with their lives, and I haven't a slightest idea how I'll make it right there.
Well, that might be hard. Every other store in town has stopped their credit.
Yes, I know.
Well, I've got to go on now.
Good luck.
Thanks.
I'm ready.
Goodbye.
Goodbye, Robin.
Goodbye, Judy. Bye, Doctor.
Doctor, you're an incurable softy.
Well, as I suppose I am, but... Well, I've got to do something about those two unfortunate women. The father was a fine man. He was my friend.
Oh, that poor hen. What are you going to do with it?
I wonder if I could get the Twinkies, too.
Hmm?
Yes, I think I could. Come on, Judy. We are going to call them Matilda and Lottie. You and I, and our father's hen.
What about that feathered chatterbox?
No, I haven't the car for the present.
Oh, it's a shame. This house that was once so lovely, falling to pieces. The lawn overgrown with weeds.
Yeah, the only thing the two sisters keep up now is the flower garden in the back.
Hmm. You're not serious, are you, about trying to give that hand to the Tweedles?
Of course.
The doctor.
Shh. Huh? Don't turn around. The Tweedles are peeking at us from the bay window.
What if they won't let us in?
Oh, they will.
For that chicken, Doctor. What good will it do?
Shh. I hear steps.
Oh, what a surprise. It's Dr. Christian. Come in, Doctor.
Hello, Matilda. How are you, Lottie?
As well as could be expected. No thanks to you, however. They haven't stopped in for 3 weeks.
Well, has it been that long? Well, I'm awfully sorry. And may I present my secretary, Miss Judy Price?
So you're Judy?
Yes. I'm so glad to know you.
Doctor, you never told us she was pretty. She ought to be married. You said a slow day for a living.
Oh. I told her that myself.
Your name's Price, is it?
Yes, that's right.
Any relation to the Prices from Philadelphia?
I don't think so, no.
Good. Never liked them. Social climbers.
Won't you come in for a while, Doctor?
At least close the door or we'll catch our death of cold.
Oh, excuse me.
Never saw a man yet who didn't leave the doors or the windows open.
This way, Miss Price. Thank you.
Will you have a cup of tea?
I don't think we have time for tea.
Well, take a moment. I had the cook fix it right away.
Oh, good land, what am I talking about? They had to let the cook and the parlor maid go.
Servants are such a problem these days, don't you think?
Yes, I suppose they are.
Sit down on the sofa, Miss Price. You can use the big chair, Doctor.
Thank you.
Don't sit on that end, Miss Price.
Uh-huh.
Things are broken.
And it's all right on this end. Thanks.
Please excuse the appearance of things. We're buying new furniture next week, you know.
We've been putting it off so long. It's hard to part with old things. These old pieces are lovely.
That's what I tell Lottie. I'd rather have things reupholstered. Spend a little more and get new things, I say.
Lottie's right, I suppose. Though, of course, with me, it's sentiment rather than expense. Oh, I think I know just how you feel, Miss Tweedle.
Well, Doctor, what's wrong with you? Cat got your tongue?
Huh? Not at all. I'm just listening.
Usually talks your arm off.
Maybe while you're here, you ought to take Lottie's pulse, Doctor.
Not feeling well, Lottie?
She's got insomnia. Matilda's got it, too. That's where I caught it.
Good over, didn't I? Well, Doctor, are you getting plenty of iron and vitamins?
Iron and vitamins? Stop the nonsense.
No appetite.
We're not heavy eaters, especially of late. Just dinner and toast is all we care about for breakfast. A little soup for lunch.
What about dinner?
Oh, anything we have around the house.
Mm, I see. Well,
Stop mumbling.
Sorry, Lottie, I was just thinking. You know, perhaps you ought to fix a nice star for dinner. That's not too heavy, yet it has plenty of nourishment.
I'm sure Lottie would like that. There's nothing wrong with me. It's you who's prescribing for her.
I'm prescribing for both of you. And it just happens that I have a fine fat hen out in my car. Now, suppose
we could take your hen, Doctor. We're not charity patients, you know.
Oh, of course not.
I'll order a hen from the market.
Oh, that won't be all right. Can't get a bird like this one, can I knock it?
Why not?
Well, it's been fed on a special diet. High iron and vitamin content.
There's that iron vitamin nonsense again. Now, don't argue with the doctor, Lottie.
I like the iron bomb. It'll give me a taste of it good.
Well, if you're prescribing for Matilda,
you need it more than I do. But of course, we'll pay you for it,
Doctor.
Oh, of course. Just put it on our bill, Doctor.
Very well.
Don't forget.
All right, make a note of that, Judy, will you?
Yes, Doctor. One R and a vitamin 10. 50 cents.
Yes, sir. I guess we'll be going. I have a call to make before supper. And by the way, ladies, if that chicken seems to be the top dead man, it's the iron in its system.
Did you ever kill a chicken?
No, but I saw the gardener kill one once.
Did you suffer too much?
Who, the gardener?
No, it was the chicken.
Well, of course, you enjoyed it.
I don't think I'm going to enjoy it either. It's for your own good, the doctor prescribed it.
Well, it's for yours, too.
The chicken dinner isn't going to hurt either of us.
No, I suppose not.
Poor chicken.
Now, stop for a sentimental.
Reach in that plate and grab it for the legs.
Will you do the chopping?
Yes, I'll chop.
All right.
Stop petting it. Reach in and grab it.
All right.
Pull it out and we'll get it over with.
Oh, you poor thing.
Lay it on the block.
Oh, it's a shame to kill such a valuable chicken. All full of iron and vitamins.
Don't you stop crying over our dinner.
I'm not crying. But how can you be so inhuman?
Hush up.
Oh, Marty, how can you?
Quiet. Hold it still. Turn it over.
Like this.
That'll do. Now, steady. Will you keep quiet? Now, ready. One, two.
I can't do it. Just see the way that poor chicken looks at me.
You've got to do it, Lottie. It's the doctor's orders.
I won't. Let the poor thing go.
Oh, dear. I'm all unstrung.
And I feel sort of empty inside. I think I'm going to faint.
Sit down, Lottie. Sit down. I'll thank you.
Oh, how terrible. I almost killed it.
Oh, what are we going to do now? The doctor expects us to eat that chicken.
I won't chop its head off. You have to do it.
Not me.
Well, somebody's got to do it. We can't eat it alive.
Lottie. Look.
Yeah?
Over there in the corner of the barn.
What is it?
Papa's old shotgun.
Oh, no, Matilda, now. Don't ask me to shoot that poor hen.
I'll do it. I'm sure it'll be more humane than the axe.
Well, all right, but be careful. Guns are dangerous.
How do you tell if it's loaded?
Don't ask me.
My, it's awfully heavy.
Don't be careful. It might go off.
Well, I was just looking in the inn to see if it's loaded.
Could you tell?
Well, we'll just have to take a chance. Where's that chicken?
She flew up there in the rafters.
Well, it's better this way. She won't know what happened.
Can you handle that heavy gun?
Well,
maybe you better help me.
Stand behind me. That's it. Now, hold my arm steady.
Like this?
That's right. Now, I'll sort of brace myself against you.
Do you know how to aim?
I think so. Ready?
Oh, I guess so. Matilda, are you all right?
I think so.
Then get off of me.
I wondered where you were.
What happened? It knocked us both down.
Oh, I don't know.
Oh.
I just pulled the trigger. Ouch, my shoulder.
Matilda, where is it?
Where's what?
The chicken. It escaped.
Oh, good heavens. Good heavens, come on. It must have flown out the door.
We can't let it get away.
Our iron and vitamin dinner.
Where could it have gone? Matilda, look, there she is.
She's in the narcissist bed.
Scott, get out of here.
Chicken.
Chicken.
Yes, Judy.
The Tweedle sisters are here, and they seem all excited.
excited and upset about
you. Oh, happen to come in.
All right. Come right in, ladies.
Oh, good morning, Matilda.
Good morning, Doctor. Oh, will I catch my breath?
How are you, Lottie?
Not good, but I'll live.
Oh, sit down. I don't believe you've ever called in my office before.
We had to see you right away, Doctor. We need your help.
It's been going on for 3 days now.
What's been going on?
We've been trying to kill Ella.
What? Well, who's Ella?
The hen you left with us.
That's the name we gave her.
Oh, I see.
But we just can't kill her, Doctor.
We tried to chop her head off.
And we tried to shoot her.
Trouble is, we've gotten fond of Ella.
And she's fond of us, too. She eats right out of our hands.
Oh, but look here, ladies. You were supposed to do the eating.
We know, Doctor. That's why we're here.
Of course, if you'd rather, you could keep her and eat the eggs.
Oh, no, we can't keep her.
She ruined half our flowers.
Why, this morning she dug up 11 tulip bulbs.
We can't seem to keep her locked up.
She gets out of every coop we made.
She flies over, crawls through, or digs under.
Hmm. Why don't you get your neighbor, Mr. Garvey, to kill the hen for you?
Oh, you don't understand, Doctor.
We want you to do it.
Why me?
Well, we were hoping that you would chloroform her first so it would be painless.
Oh, no, I couldn't do that, but... Wait a minute, I've got an idea how to keep Ella quiet.
So you mean so she'll stay in her coop and keep out of the flowers?
Yeah, that's exactly what I mean.
Well, in that case, we keep her. We're sort of attached to her, you know.
Now, listen. You go down to Jimmy Walker's at number 6 River Road. Ask him to get a setting of eggs for Ella to hatch.
Oh, I just love to raise some baby chicks, but are they expensive?
No. You see, Jim Walker was a friend of your father. He charged it to your account. Pay him any time.
Oh, well, in that case... What do you think, Lottie?
Baby chicks. Silly idea. But if it amuses you, Matilda, we'll get them.
What's the date today, Judy?
August 14th.
How time flies. Been over 3 months since that last call I made on Alex McDuncan.
Hey, Doctor, you should have turned there. We have to go to the hospital.
Yeah, I know, but the only blog is open to Tweedle Place, so I thought I'd drop in and...
And see how their chicks are getting along, huh?
Well, I hadn't thought about it, but why not?
You certainly started something with Ella.
Well, what's so terrible about it, Judy?
Why, those two sisters haven't had a minute's peace since those 11 baby chicks hatched out.
Well, at least they've usually got a kind of milk stores where they've been eating regularly.
But they've been buying as much for those chickens as they have for themselves.
Oh, nonsense. A couple of bags of corn.
That's what you think. Ordinary corn isn't good enough for those chickens, no. They've got to have special iron and vitamin feed. And every one of them has a name. You think those chickens are babies. Well, the Tweedles hardly get time to sleep.
It's not that bad, I guess.
You don't know the half of it. They've got books and government pamphlets on raising chickens, and they read them from cover to cover. They feed and water those chickens exactly on schedule, rain or shine. But they even get up at 4 o'clock in the morning to feed them.
Chickens do like the breakfast early.
Yeah, they spent money on a chicken run. They've even given up their flowers because they haven't time for them.
Yes, I noticed that. But.
Huh? What's that? Have you been calling on the Tweedles and not telling me about it?
Well, now and then.
What does now and then mean?
Oh, maybe once a week.
So that's it. You're up to something now. What is it?
Haven't you noticed a change in the Tweedles?
Hmm?
They're interested in something. They've become human. They're actually blossoming out.
Well, yes. Now that you mention it, I have noticed it. But they're heading for the poorhouse just as fast as ever.
I wonder. It seems to me that tough old bird Ella may have changed a lot of things for the Tweedles. Well, there we are. Oh, there they are in the chicken pen.
Hello, Doctor.
Hello, Miss Tweedles. Who's that man in there with him?
That's Joe Gunther.
Who's he?
Oh, just a chap I asked to drop along to see the Tweedles birds.
Dr. Christian, what have you got up your sleeve?
Now, don't ask any questions. You'll find out soon enough.
Hi, Doctor.
Hello, Joe. Well... What do you think of those chickens?
As fine as I ever saw.
You hear that, Doctor? And Mr. Gunther says he's been all over the street.
Well, chickens are his business, so if he likes your birds, you can be mighty proud of them.
He likes them so well, he wants to buy them.
I knew those chickens were dainty chickens.
But of course, we're not selling. Mercy, though. We couldn't part with them now. Not after we raised them ourselves all the way from the egg.
But, Miss Matilda, wouldn't you like to make a little money out of your chickens?
Money isn't everything, Judy.
I should say not. The finer sensibilities count, too.
I offered the lady 3 cents over the market, though. Look here, Matilda. You too, Lottie. You like raising chickens, don't you?
Oh, yes. It's been wonderful seeing the little things develop.
There's a lot of science to this, Doctor, that you wouldn't know about.
I dare say.
Well, honey, why don't you keep on raising chickens?
will give you for your present crop of chicks and start a new one. Then you'll have to find a reason to marry her again.
Oh, Lottie, do you really think we could?
Of course you could.
And just think, maybe you could start 2 settings this time and 4 settings next time.
Yes,
and
pretty soon you'll have a business.
That's all you know about it, Doctor. Matilda and I have been reading up on chicken farming, and it would take capital to build proper houses and runs and buy incubators and feed.
Yes, and that's what you've come to consent. If you sisters can raise double your present flock and produce the same kind of results, Jill here will arrange to help you in your future financing. Isn't that so, Jill?
Right, Doctor. Mm-hmm.
Okay, Mr. Gunther, it's a deal.
Well, isn't that fine? Congratulations, Matilda and Dodgy, on your new business venture. Congratulations and success.
Thank you, Dr. Christian. Thank you for everything.
Matilda and I owe you a mighty big debt, Doctor.
Ah, nonsense. All I did was give you a chicken and you get the rest.
But we insist on repaying your kindness. Miss Price, you know the doctor's taste. What kind of a present would you suggest?
Well, let me see. Well, why not give him one of your fine chickens?
Why, of course. We'll give you the finest bird in our flock, Dr. Christian. Come, Matilda. We'll get Ella for the doctor right now.
Ella?
Oh,
no, ladies, please.
Oh, honestly, Doctor, I had no idea they'd part with Ella.
Well, I guess there's a lot of truth in that old adage. Chickens always come home to roost.
You've enjoyed the chicken supreme which Dr. Christian has served up to us this evening. Gene Herschel starred in the title role of these stories, both on the air and on the screen. We'll be here in a moment to tell you about next week's play. Meanwhile, if the spring weather and the new spring hats cause the ladies' thoughts to turn to a new permanent wave, here's a tip. Start now to condition your hair for that permanent. Start now to give your scalp regular Vaseline hair tonic treatments. These Vaseline hair tonic treatments are important because they help to check any tendency to dryness, loose dandruff scales, or excessive falling hair that even normally healthy scalps seem to experience at this time of year. Here's the easy routine. Once a week, rub plenty of Vaseline hair tonic on your scalp. Then, wring the towel out of steaming hot water and wrap it around your head. When the towel cools a bit, repeat the process. Then give yourself a regular shampoo. You'll be delighted with the new softness and sheen of your hair. Delighted, too, to discover that it will take a more natural-looking, flattering permanent. Vaseline hair tonic is economical, too. There's enough in one 40-cent bottle for several treatments. And the 70-cent size is even more economical. Get a bottle of Vaseline hair tonic at the nearest drugstore and see how much more attractive your hair can be. And now, here comes Gene Herschel, the popular Dr. Christian of River's End. Dr. Christian, what have you chosen for us for next week?
Well, next week we're going to do a play called Gilmore. It's the story of a little girl whose mother found her out to a middle-aged couple near River's End. Then 13 years later, the mother returned to claim the daughter. Well, you'll hear the whole story next week. So until Wednesday evening at this same hour, I'll say good night.
The second in a series of RKO pictures based on this radio program has just been completed. It's called The Courageous Dr. Christian, and Gene Herschel has starred in the title role. Be sure to watch for the release date at your local theater. This is Arthur Gilmore adding a good night for the makers of Vaseline Corporations. This is the Columbia Broadcasting System.